Get a free pancake breakfast.
You made me forget to put the camera up. So you're blowing me away with this kind of stuff. Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedia coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California.
For the Living Fearless Devotional.
Oh, yeah.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel around the universe as far as we can go. We hope to assist you in your walk with Christ, whether you're a seasoned saint or a new believer. The Lord will meet you where you are. It's fantastic. So check out the resources, drop us a line, let us know what you think. Send us a prayer request if you may have one, or offer to pray for us. We love that too. And if this ministry blesses you in any way, you could click the donate now button.
Yes. That's pretty good. And while you are watching, make sure and comment to let us know what you're thinking about the devotional, or comment on what we are discussing, what the devotional brought to us, or if you have a different take on what's happening on our podcast at any time to answer any questions. Sometimes I phone a friend because I can't come up with the answer to something. So you guys are my friends. If you're watching on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, or Rumble, you can let us know what it is you are thinking by just putting it in the comment section. If we don't see it during the live, we will eventually see it. Make sure and check out our sponsors in the description. Go to LifeWise and check out the supplements that they have there for inflammation or sleep or beauty. And you're going to want to make sure and type in the URL livelifewise.tv, livelifewise.tv. And then StreamYard, if you want to do what we're doing and give out a devotional or share a hobby you might have, or if you want to teach somebody about needlepoint. You can go on and
it's
do it live.
Interesting, you always come up with that example.
Is that the second time I've done that? Mm-hmm. Why do I keep coming up with needlepoint?
I don't know.
It is really the weirdest thing.
Like, when was the last time you knew somebody who needlepointed?
I was married to her.
Oh, right. And there you have it.
You asked, so I told you. And you're going to want to make sure and go to Proverbs 1, 2 through 7. Proverbs 1, 2 through 7 will be, make sure and get that prepared in your Bible. We will be going through that in just a little bit. But for now, we are reading from A.W. Tozer for the Christian Leader for March 25th. The title is Read or Get Out of the Ministry.
I like it.
Get out.
Out with
A.W.
You.
References Proverbs 1, 5 and says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A.W. says, when a very young minister, I asked the famous holiness preacher, Joseph H. Smith, whether he would recommend that I read widely in the secular field.
Wait, one second. Yes. Joseph Smith, is he the starter of the Mormon?
No, I don't think he's an H. Oh, I think it is okay. Joseph Smith.
But it's a different Joseph.
I believe so. Anybody phoning a friend? See, I told you. Make sure and let us know if that is correct. Because why would he be talking to that Smith?
That's what I'm hoping.
I don't think they're around at the same time. I think the Mormon Smith was 100 years before that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, or so. Anybody know? Let us know. He replied, young man, a bee can find nectar in the weed as well as in the flower.
But is there really bee?
Weeds have flowers.
Weed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, dandelion. I took his advice, or to be frank, I sought confirmation of my own instincts rather than advice. And I'm not sorry that I did. John Wesley told the young ministers of the Wesleyan societies to read or get out of the ministry. And he himself read science and history with a book propped against the saddle pommel as he rode from one engagement to another. Andy Dolbo, the American Indian preacher of considerable note, was a man of little education, but I once heard him exhort his hearers to improve their minds for the honor of God. When you are chopping wood, he explained, and you have a dull axe, you must work all the harder to cut the log. A sharp axe makes easy work. So sharpen your axe all you can.
Do you have a dull axe?
No.
No.
Very sharp.
Very sharp. kind of like cutting a tomato, right?
There's so much stuff in this head. Sometimes I forget the little things.
My next point.
Go ahead.
When this is written, we don't have the internet or our phones.
Right.
So I don't think Tozier had any idea how much information we'd have access to, because I think there's limits.
No, they tell us that we only use a small portion of our brain.
No, I think there's limits to how much secular information we should be processing in our brains, because I don't mean science and history books. I'm talking news and other kinds of superfluous stuff, mindless stuff, you know, uneducational stuff. He specifically referred to educational stuff, but just entering data into our heads is not a good thing. Random data. And it could be false data.
I disagree. Do you want to read the prayer?
In the busyness of life, Lord, help me to always guard time to sharpen my axe.
Amen.
Amen.
You wanted to just dive right in.
I did.
Continue.
So I just think that I think we can cloud our heads with too much junk.
I think in the ministry, again, this devotional is about ministers.
Right.
Mostly, but it reaches many of us who become disciples in many ways. We're like many.
We should all be disciples.
Many ministers.
Yes.
As a disciple. No, I'm not sure if that's a great
way to put it. Mini minister.
Yeah. We're not standing in a pulpit and speaking to a bunch of people. Sometimes we're speaking to somebody at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Or
we're all ministers of the gospel.
At a lacrosse game. But I feel like having some of this nonsense knowledge, which I think is a good way to put it, is gives us the ability to respond to nonsense that people will be speaking and distracted by and say, you know, the stuff on TikTok you're watching, the lipstick videos and the hairdo videos and the things that make you feel like you're not as good as that person.
Right.
You know, that's something you need to guard. That's from the devil.
Do you feel like you have to watch the lipstick videos to make a comment?
I don't think I need to watch them, but I need to know that's what it is that they're seeing. I don't need to see 100 of them. I can see two and see that they're getting like a million views.
Right.
Go, okay, listen.
Not filling your head with lipstick videos. Right.
Yeah, but the knowledge of them, that they exist.
Sure. But you don't think there's a point at which we overload our tiny little pea brains with worthless information?
No, I don't think so. Well, what you can do, though, is waste a lot of time. So you don't need to spend a lot of time in it.
Good point, good point.
You just need to know that it exists and then
Lord, I would like to redeem the time.
And does this include, because I read a book about the history of the Mormon faith, and I think I read another book about Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was the Scientology book, the one that he wrote, the Dianetics. Is there anything wrong with doing that? Because they're talking about secular stuff.
Right.
This is information about another religion. Because I just wanted to know, what is it?
I don't know what the official opinion about that is.
What do you guys think? Is it okay to read even the Book of Mormon or...
I mean, I think when it's for the purpose of witnessing to Mormons or understanding so that you can witness, I don't see what the harm is. I mean, I know in apologetics, they read the Quran and they read Hadith, which are the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, in order to have a response to them. So I don't see why any other faith would be any different.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't do a Ouija board and I did that when I was a kid. Yeah. So that's doing something, or I don't.
You're not supposed to do yoga because you're not supposed to worship false gods.
But maybe to read.
From an educational standpoint as opposed to a worship standpoint?
Yes.
I don't think it should be a problem. But I don't know if there's an official ministerial rule about that.
I'd want to know. Maybe in our next interview with Pastor Jack, I'll ask him that too.
It's a good question.
That'd be a really good question. What are some of our followers saying?
Hi, Cindy. She's driving but listening.
Now she's driving and listening.
And then Kelly. Hello, hello. But Cindy's typing, so I hope she's voice typing. Agreed. We need to know what other people are identifying as their truth so we can respond to their nonsense. but we need to know what God has to say more and spend more time with God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Good stuff in, good stuff out. Too much garbage in, garbage starts to come out.
Wow.
That's so profound,
Cindy. I bet you your grandmother said that, Cindy.
I love that. Oh, she's parked now. Okay. Oh.
She just wants everybody to know.
Safely. I think that's a good point. That's my theory. Too much garbage in, garbage starts to come out.
Well, I mean, for sure, the one thing that I know now, because I just started doing it, and that is the thing I've been trying to do for some 55 years. That sounds like a long time when you say it out loud.
Right.
And that is to read the Bible. And so
do you want to tell our friends what happened today, though?
Just a second ago. Yes, we'll talk about that. So if you're not reading the Bible, but you're only reading other things,
clearly that is wrong, right?
Yeah, and that's what I used to do. I read the Book of Mormon. I read
self-help books, Tony Robbins. Dianetics,
Tony Robbins, all that kind of stuff, but didn't read the real.
But the Bible got dusty.
The real help book, the right. God help book. Right. But because you need to hear the truth,
yes,
so that you can discern,
yes,
the lies and the false
right
doctrines.
So as our friends know, Andy has started the one-year Bible for the first year. Very excited, waking up every day very early. He was a little behind because he was on a trip and he didn't have his paper book with him. And then something interesting happened today when Andy woke up.
I was like 4 days behind.
4 days behind. Yes. But today he also woke up at 4:30. And what'd you do, Andy, when you woke up at 4:30?
Well, I woke up at 4:30. Mm-hmm. Well, actually last night I realized that I had a meeting scheduled for 8.
Ah.
Now, normally my workout at the gym would be at 8. So from 5 o'clock to about 7:30, I read the one-year Bible.
Yes.
But because I had a meeting at 8, I needed to get to figure out how it was. I didn't want to end up being, at the gym until 2 p.m. So I said, I know I'll pull a switcheroo. I woke up at 4:30. I went to the gym. Well, I got coffee. Then I went to the gym.
Yes.
And then I went to my meeting at 8.
Yes.
And then I read the one-year Bible. I don't see how that, do you really think that's a problem?
I promise you, before you know it, the habit will break.
Really?
Oh my God, the devil creeps up just like that. Just like that.
Wow.
I've seen it happen 1,000 times.
So what you're saying, I just should have.
You absolutely, unless you don't have your book.
I have my book.
Or you're sick and you can't wake up. Change the time. You don't. You cannot change the time. Because once the devil knows, oh, okay, I see now. I just got to rearrange some things and I could totally distract him.
But The devil could have got me when I went on that long, where we went to Detroit. I went to Detroit and then I met you up in Nashville, yeah, where I didn't have my book.
He could have, but you fought it and you won. So he tried a new tactic.
I fought the law and the law won. Yeah.
Yeah, so he tried a new tactic. He made this cool.
Look at you.
He made this cool new class and said, Andy, you're up early. I made this really cool class for you at 6. It's perfect.
So maybe I just have to wake up at 3.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's what you got to tell the devil. Say, you won't give me a class at 6? I'm going to wake up at 3.
Yeah. So there. I actually could have done that today, too.
Yep.
Because I was up at 3.
Yeah.
I rolled around on the bed until 4:30 and then got up. Rolled on the bed by myself. Just so they...
I wish all the other ladies were on so they could comment. We're going to have this discussion again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, we're missing all of our peeps so that they can comment. If you're hearing this afterwards, please put your comments and tell me whether you agree.
Well, you got me just now with it was a different tactic. He thought he was going to get me with the being on vacation, but I was firm. I said, no, I'm going to catch up.
Right.
Because it's a time, I go to the East Coast and it's a time change. And I know that sounds like a lot of the devil talking right there, but it just wasn't It wasn't in the cards.
No, and you didn't have the book.
And I didn't have the book.
So you didn't have a digital copy. Yeah. We need to get you the Kindle copy.
Anyways. I do. I need to get that.
You don't have to read all the time on the Kindle, but you need the emergency Kindle copy.
See? Where were you when I needed you?
I'm always here. I'm always here. So yeah, please, if you're watching on the replay, give us your comments on whether you agree that in order to break a biblical, God-centered habit, the devil tries to distract us. And if he can distract us, he could take us off our game.
Yeah, I'm really interested to know what you think about reading other
and
other religions.
Topic of the devotional, reading other religions.
Yeah.
And in general, just secular knowledge. I totally believe in the acquisition of knowledge. I love it. I think it's really important. But my commentary was that I worry sometimes too much in this day and age, our access to information is so abundant that you end up with too much information. So I was listening to Dan Bongino this morning.
You were able to listen?
I was. Well, I don't, you know what? Honestly, I don't know how much you listened.
Mine stopped at 11 minutes.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's all I heard was 11 minutes. Where he was talking about Moscow, the shooting, and like his five different perspectives on who it was.
Oh, I didn't get that far. It froze at 11 on me.
I only saw about 11 minutes, but I don't know if it was a different 11 minutes than yours.
Yeah.
But in mine, he was giving us like five different theories on who committed the shooting. And I was thinking to myself, if I was listening to it, I was like, do I really need to know this? Like, am I filling my brain right now with too many what ifs about something that is so unimportant?
I say yes.
Yes.
Because you are very involved and you are considered the Islam person, the Christian who formerly spoke China.
And an Islamic terrorism. So that's why I was curious to hear what are people saying about Moscow.
But you had some really good information on that too, about Syria. No, you did last night.
Yeah, so he didn't believe that it was ISIS because he said it was too convenient. He says Blinken warned Russia because he did it publicly ahead of time.
2 weeks
so ago. We knew of the attack. The Estonia Secret Service knew of an attack against them. But that all could have been chatter on ISIS on the dark web. Yeah. So that, and then Paris raised its threat level as a result of that attack. But then he was saying it could have been Putin doing it to himself. And I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see that either.
I don't.
He's pretty out there, but I don't think he would do that.
And not like that, opening fire like that. Like,
no.
No. And I don't think that's the Ukrainians either. That kind of brutality takes a very crazy deprivation. So we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, could it be a faction of the Ukrainians that have just, they've just had it? They're broken.
What does that achieve for them? It just inspires the Russians to do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they find out it's Ukraine backed, it's just going to, you know, that was Dan's point, that it would allow Putin the excuse to go nuclear if he could link it to the Ukrainians.
Yeah. No.
But I was thinking, I mean, all of us as counterterrorism experts are just waiting for the other shoe to drop for ISIS or some other major terrorist organizations to hit the United States.
Yeah.
But Russia?
Yeah, that was odd.
That was odd. So the only thing, as I told you last night, what I told Andy, what occurred to me was that it was their support of Bashar Assad. They basically are the reason he's still standing, is Russia.
Well, I think ISIS, at least the followers of ISIS in that area, still hold a grudge for their battle in Afghanistan back in the 80s.
Who?
Russia was fighting the Afghanis.
Right.
And that's when we were helping Osama bin Laden with weapons. So they don't like Russia either. They don't like Iran. They don't like,
okay.
I mean, their hatred for them, I'm sure, is still Because, you know, they never forget.
But we're mixing terrorist groups here. Al-Qaeda is different than ISIS.
Okay.
So, and the reason it seems like a distinction without a difference, but it's important. ISIS is mostly comprised of former Ba'athists, people that were military figures under Saddam Hussein. So remember, when we ousted Saddam Hussein, the Sunnis lost control. So the Shiites took over. So Iraqi overnight became a Shiite state. So ISIS is a hodgepodge of former Ba'athists, Sunnis, and then the ragtag, you know, jihadis from around the world. Al-Qaeda mission focus was on getting the infidel out of Arab lands. ISIS is trying to form a territory. Al-Qaeda and ISIS. So ISIS believes in a manual, basically recreating the caliphate, the Islamic State. Al-Qaeda doesn't. Al-Qaeda theologically doesn't believe you could do that by human means. The savior has to come back to do that. So their political motivations would be different.
Gotcha.
So ISIS's number one enemy to creating their Islamic State and maintaining it is the president of Syria. Who is unilaterally supported in the world by Russia.
Got it. Better connection.
That was a lot. James, question. Are you all taking questions? We absolutely are taking questions.
He's on X.
Yes. Looks like a Sasquatch.
Or I thought it was a man in a bite suit. A dog training bite suit, but you might be right.
Looks like the rear side of a Sasquatch. What is your graphic, James?
Yeah, what are your questions, James?
And your question.
Well, yeah, we'll.
And Kelly thinks it's way too much information overload. I need to take a break sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's also a woman thing, Kelly, because we seem to get a lot more frustrated quickly than men do.
But you know, she says a break sometimes. I think everybody needs a break from.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But we go right back to it.
To tell you the truth, I'm having a hard time deciding who I believe.
Really?
I'm getting like Pastor Jack, where I'm like, I don't even know whose news source I should believe anymore.
I love that list he gave yesterday of all the news sources.
Oh, did he give a list yesterday? Mm-hmm. I saw a whole bunch of lists of all kinds of things yesterday, but I didn't see a news source.
Yes.
I don't think he did that in Second Service.
Yeah. I don't
did know. You take a screenshot?
It's on his website. He said he gave these are all
JackHibbs.com. Okay.
I believe so.
Because. I mean, just even watching the conservatives implode, he would deceive even the elect. The end times, just the chaos of uncertainty right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, all this stuff with Candace Owens totally freaking me out too. And I don't understand what's happening. The fractioning of the conservative movement is a little bit bizarre. And it goes to Pastor Jack's point at the epicenter Israel, because even the United States will turn its back on Israel. So watching. Okay. I'm going to go on a rabbit trail here, but I think it's important because a lot of our viewers are Pastor Jack students. And so I think they'll get this. We are staunch supporters of Israel. Hands down. We support Israel hands down. God says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you because.
We being Christians or we being the United States of America?
Followers of Pastor Jack.
Okay.
Students. Okay. Students of Pastor Jack. Disciples that go to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Our teacher has instilled that value by teaching us the Old Testament through the New. So it's not we blindly follow anybody. He is based on the way he has explained and articulated the concepts in the Bible, which we can read for ourselves. God has never disowned his promises to Israel, nor shall he ever. And if he were to, then the promises to us are invalid too. So he will always support, God will always support and defend Israel. But you can see suddenly what they're describing as a Christian nationalist movement, which is not what Pastor Jack is at all, but what he's being accused of. This nationalist movement is somewhat of isolationist. I've heard it even in Steve Bannon. Like, why do we have to support Israel? Who cares? He's Catholic. Catholics don't care about Israel. So we have to realize that we have to listen to all of these factions now that are happening in the conservative movement and be like, whoa, wait a minute. That is against the Bible. We follow Bible first, not party first. We are citizens of heaven. And so when they start to deviate, some in the MAGA movement are isolationists. And if you're an isolationist, that means you move away from global politics to focus on hyper-nationalism. The danger of hyper-nationalism is you abandon Israel. And as Pastor Jack was explaining yesterday, we're seeing this happen in real time because even people in the United States are turning their back on Israel. The last bastion of hope for American support for Israel is the conservative movements. If the conservatives stop supporting Israel, it's done. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was long-winded.
No, that's right.
But
you've even got Jews, you know, that are for a two-state solution to...
Absolutely, because they're looking at a secular lens. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, I mean, this is something I dealt with in 20-plus years of government service. The entire State Department are atheists. So they want diplomatic solutions to problems. I was like, you can't have a diplomatic solution to problems if people are not playing by the same rules you are.
Right.
They have a theology that guides them, not an ideology, not a political ideology. They have a theology that guides them. So your diplomatic solutions, the Muslim ideology is they will inherit the entire earth until the Savior comes and rules with Jesus. So they believe in a rule of Jesus. So they won't stop at anything less short of that. And so we also will stop. We must not stop short of anything but supporting Israel until the king returns.
And you have firsthand knowledge of this because of what you had to deal with Osama bin Laden. Sorry. Obama. When he told you in a meeting.
Well, and that was just him personally, but I had to deal with it for decades working with State Department officials in every country at all levels. Mm. It wasn't just Obama. He was he's just one executive. But the entire machinery, what we all now call the deep state, the entire machinery of our diplomacy is built on atheism. Mm. Something that, you know, people like Pompeo tried to change, but it's not changeable.
Wow. It's Kelly, I have to say, there's a comment on Candace.
Candace Owen says, those who support Israel don't know their real history. I don't completely understand what people mean by the real history. They want to rewrite history. Yeah.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you. There is nothing more crazy than what's going on with Candace Owen right now. And I told Andy, he's like, what are you listening to? Because I started to listen. I'm going back and listening to each of her podcasts on this past week. Because I can't listen to commentary about what she said anymore. I need to hear it from her because it just does not make any sense what they're saying she said. What Christians I trust are saying about what she's saying is that she doesn't know the Bible. She doesn't understand the Bible. So the things she's saying about Israel is because she doesn't understand the Bible. So if she's talking about history, she's talking about a political history that she thinks she understands, but she doesn't understand God's history.
She needs to listen to the last two or three sermons from Pastor Jack.
She does. I literally was going to text Pastor Jack last night and be like, can you get a meeting with her?
Yeah.
Because she's turned around.
Just get a hold of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, because they're really good friends. I'm like, could you please ask for a meeting? He was like, you really need it. Because remember last time I asked him about her, he was not aware of the conflict. Like, he's not engaged. He's not interested. Right. But I'm thinking by this point, somebody must have been like, can you please look at this? Because I don't understand how she gets straightened out unless somebody of substance explains it to her.
Mm. All right, let's read the scripture real quick.
Proverbs 1. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, I love that. Give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'd like to cut and paste and have Jack send that to Candace. Because seriously, that's the humbleness and the open-heartedness and the discernment of a believer right there, you know? Yeah. Being open to hearing, maybe I don't get this.
I think a long-form discussion between the two of them,
yes,
would be great to hear on a podcast.
Well, she should bring him on the show.
Yeah. Kind of like what your interview, your very first interview, you know, the very first podcast that he did with you.
Yeah.
That back and forth
discussion. And Candace does those. Tucker had Candace on, and Candace has her own podcast where she brings people and does long form discussion on.
And it's important. Why? Why do you think it's important that we do that with Candace? And
says, oh my God, she's a huge voice for young conservatives. Mm-hmm. And she's got 500,000 followers. I mean, and she's a believer, and she professes a believer. I mean, she's posting scripture. Her response to Ben Shapiro about failing to support Israel was Bible verses. Mm. You know what I mean? So she's yielding the sword of the spirit and chopping people's heads off with it. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, whoa, wait. You know what I mean? Like, it's like somebody so with easy. A loaded gun pointing in the wrong direction. You're like, wait, okay, time out. You know what I mean?
My kids do the same thing to me on occasion.
Right?
We'll take a verse and I'll go, that's not really
out of context.
Yeah, out of context.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so easy.
So dangerous.
Do.
Yeah. People, extremists do that.
Yeah, they like to do that. I have people on my post that Mark guy, he will put on something and I'll go, you know
what you're doing. Absolutely. The left does it all the time.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It's like somebody grabbing a gun that doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah, it's waving it around. Oh my God, stop that.
Is this the safety?
You know, and especially around young people, because let's face it. See, we got to realize there is a demonic, there's a demonic spirit that wants to turn everyone's heart against Israel. As Pastor Jack was explaining this weekend, Satan thinks if he can destroy Israel, Jesus has no place to come back to. Hmm. Because the book says he comes back to Jerusalem, rules and reigns. So he's thinking, if I destroy it, he has no place to come back to. The prophecy is foiled, which is the same reason why we don't believe that's possible. Hmm. So there is a spirit, a very strong spirit of delusion to pull people away from Jews and Israel. And so if she is being utilized in that way, then you want to try to correct it.
Yeah.
And you believe and hope and pray she's correctable.
James, we are taking questions.
We are taking questions. We told you.
Yeah.
Please.
You may have missed.
Fire away.
I thought I would answer. Maybe he didn't hear you tell him that. Kelly says.
She had Pastor Jack on her PragerU show a few years ago, so they have met.
That's another connection, PragerU. Yeah.
PragerU for sure. Okay. I am going to reach out to a couple of those channels and see if I could
set up again.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs a refresher.
She needs a refresher.
James says?
God walked away from the Jewish people.
The Jewish people walked away from God.
Yes. God never walks away from his people. I mean, think about it. You can't worship a God that breaks his promises. So our Bible, if you're a believer in Christianity, maybe you're not, is the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can't understand the New Testament without reading the Old Testament. God doesn't create a whole new set of, I know there's people that believe that, create a whole new set of promises. No, his promises are continual and eternal. That's how you can depend on them. Because if he broke his covenant to the Jews and to Israel, then he's going to break his covenant to me. Then how can I have surety of my salvation with a God who changes his mind? So my God doesn't change his mind. The God of the Bible doesn't change his mind.
We have a few minutes left.
He asked me how I was saved.
Yeah, I think that would be the best one to end on. because now they're, yeah. So James S.
How were you saved? I was saved by meeting Jesus Christ on the internet. So I didn't stay there, but that's how I was saved. I watched a YouTube video of a pastor, and that got me ultimately connected with the Bible, with the Lord, until I went and got baptized and attended a Bible preaching and teaching church under Pastor Jack Hibbs, who we've been talking about.
Awesome.
Last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And it says that only the chosen one will know when the world will die. My understanding is the world doesn't die. It's reborn. But that's a longer conversation.
It does get a gigantic
new earth.
A flame,
yes,
to it.
It gets a facelift.
It gets put in the kindling oven.
Yes.
Gets redone.
Somebody trained him for 15 years.
Yeah.
Who trained you for 15 years? But thank you for your questions.
Yes. Come back again.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we're hitting the towards the end of the show. But
why are we going off? So it's still 36 minutes.
Well, we have the prayer requests. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right? But you're so quick. You usually go on forever. Are you running somewhere?
Well, I got a little hungry.
Oh, okay.
Well, we can stay.
You see, this is so exciting. And you usually 50 minutes, you're like, I got to tell another story now.
Okay. Well, okay. Now you've done it.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell him how I was saved. I told it 100 times. I'll save the current audience. But Jesus showed up at a meeting I was at, and standing right there in front of me.
Yeah. It, amen.
Changed my life. It was spectacular.
Amen.
He'll do that sometimes. I can't guarantee he'll do it to you, but he definitely...
He will always show up.
Yeah, he always shows up, but not standing like right in front of me.
Yeah, that may be different.
I thought he was going to punch me. Yeah, I thought for a second he might punch me. Because he's saying,
you know,
okay, listen. What took you so long to repent? He goes, I saw you a few weeks ago repent. And I was like, I've been waiting for that. Like, and so he wanted to like slap me and say, you should have done that 40 years ago.
Right.
Or whenever it was. I've been waiting for you to do that. I had another question.
James says, he said, you know how I was saved? God asked me if I wanted to be saved, and I said yes.
No, it's awesome.
I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Amen.
Gosh, I wish I could remember what I was just gonna ask, but it has to do with you grew up in Beverly Hills. It was about the Jews.
Yes.
Grew up in Beverly Hills with a very large community.
Entirely
of Jews.
Jewish.
Entirely.
I did Jewish. Not meet a Christian person until college.
Out of those Jews, it always sounds funny to say, it's like Mexicans. They are. I'm Hispanic, by the way. Were they devout, the Jews that you mostly knew in Beverly Hills? Oh, okay.
Mixed. Some were Orthodox and... a lot of them were secular, just culturally Jewish.
But yet, when they're culturally Jewish, do they still eat? Don't eat pork.
They won't eat pork, but they just don't eat kosher. Hmm. Remember, you're in the book of Numbers. You just finished Leviticus and Exodus. All those rules still apply to the Jews.
Wow.
So the question is, how adherent are they? Like my best friend, as I was a young adult, when I first came to DC, was an Orthodox Jew. I learned a lot from her, because we were both fighting terrorism. So she was working for Steve Emerson at the time. Mm. And, I was doing work for the government. And so we were best friends, and I learned a lot about, habits and stuff like that. But growing up, there were all kinds, but when the high holidays came, they were at temple. All the kids were bar bat mitzvahed, which was their 13th kind of like communion. What do you guys call it in Catholic Church? Catechism?
Catechism.
Yeah. But they didn't keep to all of the Levitical laws necessarily. Like they didn't put the woman out in the tub for 8 days after her period and stuff like that.
Right. So down the street, we have that Beth. Oh man, I had it on the tip of my tongue. It's right on Yorba Linda Boulevard.
Right. Bethany or
yeah, where we see people walking that have the hat and the and the locks.
Yeah, Levitical law, don't shave the sides of your head.
But we don't know any of these people. Are there any, do you know of any the Jewish people in our circle of friends that we, you know, because Pastor Jack always tells us to at least make friends with atheists and make friends with some Jews and have discussions with them about Jesus.
Yeah. Not that I know. I can't think of any. All of the ones I know are Messianic. They believe in Christ.
Ah. Yeah, I wanted to talk to them a little bit about.
Some in LA that we met at the party. They're all Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our friends out that host the parties out there.
Have you, sent them a text message inviting them to our home church?
I have not. But she, one of them is on fire over this whole thing with Candace. So I was going to engage in a conversation with her about it because she's, and the reason this is alerted to me is I have a good friend that I've met now through social networking for conservatives. She's posting a bunch of videos about Candace, and one of her latest posts was something along the lines of, we now have seen the anti-Semites hiding under the MAGA flag. And I was like, oh, for the love of God. Like, that is the worst. That is the worst, is to see.
That she said that, or that is actually that, happening?
Both. That, that's the way she sees it, because there's no reason. I see why she sees that. Because that is what I would see, too, based on their reaction and the words that they're using. But I'm trying to find what exactly, but that is so detrimental to who we are as Christians, is for the Jewish community to just start to think we're anti-Semites.
Wow.
The conservatives are anti-Semites.
I don't see that, but I think I have to open my eyes to it a little bit more.
Oh, you definitely do, because she went and interviewed Nick Fuentes. You know, the more they started calling her an anti-Semite, then she went to interview Nick Fuentes and one other cuckoo bird. Norman Finkelstein. I mean, everybody knows Norman Finkelstein. He's a rabid Jew hater, even though he's Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been.
What I would want to do is print out the graphs that Pastor Jack, the 50 different references to the Old Testament, where it talks about everything that has to do with the Jesus coming to the earth and resurrection and all the connections to that, the prophecy. That was awesome. 50 different.
Amazing.
Areas of the Old Testament.
What an amazing graphic.
Point to and Cindy, our Jesus, Cindy, not a, not, not another prophet or not another Messiah, to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How do they ignore that? That's that. Eventually, that was my point. Like, how do you ignore all the things that are in the Old Testament that point directly to Jesus?
You think that you're still waiting for a different one?
Wow.
Cindy said she has Jewish friends.
Yeah.
Because she's a Messianic Jew.
Ah. Probably has family.
Yeah. You probably still have family that is Jewish, Cindy, right?
James says Muslims.
I don't know. I don't know if it's related to this. He said, have you ever seen God work and God do something that would hold up in a court of law? It's an interesting perspective.
Ooh. James, we have to think about that.
Yeah. And then I don't know if that's related to the statement before. It says Muslims.
Yeah, because I'm in a court of law all the time. So I would definitely, I would like to figure that out.
Right.
Because they now currently in the United States, there used to be a Bible that you would put your hand on. The only time I've seen a Bible now was when I was testifying, I want to say South Carolina.
Oh, really? So now what do they put your hand on?
Nothing. You just raise your hand.
Oh.
And so you put your left hand on the Bible and raise your hand.
And now they're not swearing to God anymore, right?
Only in some states. And again, North Carolina, I think it was one of those, maybe South Dakota. Now, don't quote me. I could be wrong. That at the end, there's no Bible, but at the end they'll say, so help you God.
Am I not allowed to say, oh, my Lord?
Not if it doesn't have to do with praising God.
Even if I'm wanting to call, because I said just a minute ago, a friend of mine called out that I shouldn't say, oh my God. So I'm like, so I can't say, oh my Lord, this is terrible when I'm talking to Jesus, because I'm literally talking to Jesus.
Well, if you're talking to Jesus.
Because I'm saying, oh my Lord, this is terrible.
Yes, I think that that's okay. But you can't just say, oh my God. Like that to something
like,
that somebody
does. Like just out of exacerbation,
right?
Okay,
so God, that was just an example.
Well, but yeah, these are Christianese folks, because I grew up not Christian. So I didn't realize, you know, I know the don't take God's name in vain. Like, you're not supposed to stub your toe and scream Jesus. Even though when I really hurt myself, I call out to Jesus, but not taking his name to vain.
Yeah, I think as long as you are directly talking to him, you can call him by all his names. Okay. Lord Jesus. Oh, I want to show people my new hat.
Oh, okay.
Can I do that before we leave?
Cindy says, I didn't have any of the connections of prophecy brought to me when I was Jewish in my belief. Isn't that amazing? Well, I mean, Cindy, I wasn't witness to ever, and I was around interfaith leaders, priests, nearly every single day, and no one witnessed to me, not a one. And she says she's only one of two people in the family that are messianic.
You know, there's things that pop up on Facebook, and every so often I click the buy button, and sometimes you get them and they're not worth the.
Yeah, I had that weird teeth cleaner thing.
Yeah,
it looks so cool, but it just hurt. Wasn't good.
I forgot about that.
And I'm like, here, try it. He's like, no, you just finished saying how horrible it was. I'm not trying it.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't understand why you just won't. Why you won't try with me?
And so you're like one of those people that says, oh, this smells terrible. Here, smell it.
I am.
You just told me that it's terrible.
Exactly.
This really hurts. It causes bleeding and it may injure you for the rest of your life. But here, try it.
Yes. Be careful. Well, I give you a disclaimer. Be careful.
But on Facebook, I bought this hat and it is amazing. I love it. It's it says Yahweh on the front.
Adonai Elohim.
Yes. I love this on the side. On the other side, it's a.
I thought you bought that for the kids because it looks like something you would give to Bo.
It says world champion, like a baseball, like the World Series, but it's the Trinity.
It's awesome. Yeah. Cindy, you shouldn't use God's name in a curse. Absolutely. So that's obvious to me. But I was told I shouldn't say, and I respect and love this person very much, and so I agreed to not say it. Oh my God, that I say that out of exacerbation, like, oh my God, this is, and quite frankly, I feel in my heart, I'm in conversation with God all the time. And so when I say, oh my God, what I said to this person is like, I thought I'm calling attention to God about something that's exacerbating me. And I said, no, that's taking God's name in vain. And I was like, okay, I won't do it anymore. So that's the context. So it's not a curse. It's a calling attention to something. And I was told that was not appropriate either.
I think it's from my Catholic faith. So
Said it wasn't either.
I said, oh my gosh.
So he says, oh my gosh. I'm not using the word gosh. So I'm just going to have to change my expression.
In text,
I say goodness. Goodness.
I type OMG and it types out, oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
it bothers me when someone says, oh my God, all the time in their current speech patterns, because it isn't respecting God. It's just usage of his name.
Yeah. Randomly, like throwing it out there. Yeah.
But do you ever say, oh my God, Cindy? Because you know the reverence you have for the Lord. So do you ever say, oh my God, like if something exacerbates you, like somebody tells you your friend, God forbid, has cancer, would you in response say, oh my God, I can't believe that? Would you say that? Is that disrespectful?
So say I type OMG and then I hit send and it turns into, oh my gosh.
Oh, how cute. But does that happen to everybody or?
No, you have to program it in.
Oh. Anybody else have any opinions? Please drop them in the comments. You want to tell me I'm a heathen?
Heathen.
Yep. Heathen. Oh, I think I'm ready. I'm ready to land the plane.
Where'd James go? No, we want to talk to James more.
I don't know if Cindy's still here. I mean, James is still here.
No, I think that's it.
I gotta leave at 1:30.
I didn't see any prayer requests.
Okay, so we're just closing prayer.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna pray for Candace.
Oh yes.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time of fellowship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are holy, God. You are holy, and therefore we shall be holy. You do not break any of your covenants, any of your promises to your sons and daughters. You will uphold all your promises to your people, Lord. And we're so grateful that we are now grafted into that community of believers. Whether we originate as the Jewish people or not, we are all one family, your church. And we're so grateful to be your bride, Lord. Thank you. We praise your name. We love you and we honor you with all that we have and all that we do. Lord, we lift up Candace Owens to you and we ask that you give her discernment and wisdom. She loves you. She professes your name. And we ask that you give her a right understanding, that you will send wise counsel to her that will advise her and help her to understand the relationship between Israel and God's heart and what God's heart is for the Jewish people and for Israel, Lord. We ask that you do that for all people who believe in the wrong doctrine of replacement theology, for anyone who has lost their way and that causes division, Lord, that your church remain whole and of right understanding of your Bible. Lord, we ask that you bless all of our friends, all the people we know and we don't know that we've never spoken to, Lord, that you give them good health, you give them a good spirit and strong discernment for the times that are ahead where there's so much deception and desire to distract the believer. Lord, fortify us and renew us with your strength. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends, we love you guys.
Love ya.
God bless you. And we're so happy that James joined us. He appears to be a new viewer.
Thank you, James.
We love you. God bless.
Bye.